feel like we need to let you know when time is going.
I guess I should introduce myself. I'm Mustafa Rashidi. I am research soil scientist in NRCS, National Soil Survey Center in Lincoln, Nebraska. Our staff in West Virginia noticed that high concentration of nitrogen in the Lost River. And they suspected the industry there that they are dumping. Mainly it is poultry facilities. There is about 100 chicken houses in that area, in the watershed. And they suspected that they are applying a lot of litter, manure, to the soil there. So we thought to investigate what is going on there. Can someone turn on the light, please? I just here want to show the scenario that usually you have a lot of application of manure to agricultural land. It rain, and the water in runoff and leaching move the chemicals from the manure to from the soil to the water. Then we end up getting contamination in fresh water, like what you see here, what we call eutrophication. It is nitrogen contamination or phosphorus contamination. So the objective was to estimate water loss from soil by surface runoff and leaching, and also nitrate loss, and the loading and the impact on water quality. We developed a technique. It is a package of models and analytical methods and some work in the field that we could investigate the impact of agricultural land on water quality. And it mainly used existing data on soil, climate, and hydrology. The only thing we need to do is to collect surface soil samples from major soils in the watershed. So it is very cost-effective technique, as you will see. I highlighted element here because that technique could be applied on any chemicals. In this study, we used nitrogen, but we did phosphorus, heavy metals, alkaline earth elements. So here just outlined the technique. So soil survey is used to identify major soil in the watershed. And then we use the National Agricultural Statistics to identify land cover, forest, pasture, crop, or whatever. And then the only physical work we need is to collect surface soil sample from the major soils in the watershed, and then determine the element that we are interested in. And then we use runoff and leaching models to calculate the runoff and leaching water. And then also we'll be able to estimate the loss of nitrate nitrogen from soil by runoff and leaching. And then also calculate the loading. And finally, we use the GIS program to present the data in digital format. So this is the names of the two watershed in the Lost River Basin in West Virginia. This is the map of the two watershed. We use them as one unit. The area is about 44,000 acres. Most of it is forest land. about 70% forest land, about 25% pasture land, and maybe 3-4% crop land. You see here the location of the soil samples. We collect about 200 samples, surface soil samples, and also this is the Lost River. We collect water sample monthly within a year from January to December to monitor the nitrogen concentration. This is the landscape for the forest land. It, as you see here, very steep slope. What you don't see here is the soil is very shallow, which enhance a lot of runoff and leaching. As you will see here, that almost 50% of the rainfall go to runoff and leaching. For the runoff, we use the curve number model. And as you see here, the Q is runoff, the R is the rainfall, the effective rainfall, CN, the curve number, which is dimensionless value that depend on the hydrology and land cover. This is to summarize the data for runoff water. As you see, very high amount of runoff. Almost 5,000 cubic meter. This is exact cubic meter per hectare for cropland, about 4,600 from pasture land, and 4,300 from forest land. Here, just the data expressed in the GIS map. As you see here, it is millimeter the depth of the runoff. You can multiply that by 10 to give you cubic meter per hectare. For leaching, we use the percolation model, which depends on the percolation index and the seasonal index. This is a percolation index which depends on the annual precipitation and the curve number. And the seasonal index depends on the effective and annual precipitation. The leaching index is the product of the two indexes. The data here show expressed in cubic meter per hectare. For cropland, about 1,400 cubic meter, followed by the forest land, about 1,000, and the least for pasture land, about 800 cubic meter per hectare. The data in GIS format. For the loss of nitrate, usually these two pass in the runoff water and the leaching water. Actually, most of the loss, as usual, it is in the leaching water. In our study, we found that about 82% of nitrate loss by leaching and about 18% by runoff. This is the assumption we build in the model, that nitrate nitrogen is lost from the top 10 millimeter of the soil. And only nitrate nitrogen in runoff water is removed and lost during runoff occurrence. Here we show the data, nitrate nitrogen loss by runoff expressed as kilogram per hectare. You see, for pasture land, it's about 15 kilogram per hectare, the loss. Forest land, 10.3 kilogram, while cropland, 6.5 kilogram. This is, in general, relatively high amount of nitrate loss, mainly reflect the application of manure on this land. But you will see much higher value when we look at the leaching data. For leaching, the assumption was that nitrate is lost when leached below 30 centimeter depth. And leaching index of 730 millimeter can remove all nitrate present in the top 30 centimeter. As you see here from the data, very high amount of nitrate nitrogen loss, about 64 kilogram per hectare from pasture land, 42 and a half from forest land, and the average from cropland is 38 kilogram per hectare. For the concentration, this is relatively low, mainly because we have a lot of water in the runoff, so this is the dilution. So this is why this attribute to about 18% to the river. As we know that the EPA set a threshold of 10 ppm for drinking water for animal and human. So this is a relatively low value. The data in the GIS format. For concentration in leaching water, as you will see, it is very high concentration. Almost seven times as the threshold set by the EPA from pasture land, 67 ppm. For pasture land, 41 ppm, while 31 ppm from cropland. This is the average from each type of soils. As you see here, the red area, that the hot spots, what we call hot spots, that present soil that produce more than 65 ppm nitrate nitrogen. Yes?
2 minutes.
Hmm?
They're 2 minutes.
You left the other for 20 minutes. The predicted and observed nitrate concentration in the river, the model gave 10.4 ppm. The average for the data we collected throughout the year was about 7.5 ppm. The low concentration could be due to two factors. One for denitrification, because the pH in the water was about 8, mainly because of the high concentration of calcium. There is a lot of calcium carbonate formation in the subsurface in that area, and this contributes to that high calcium concentration. The other factor is absorption by weeds, aquatic plants, and also by algae. This could be the reason for lowering the nitrate concentration in the river. But also we noticed that in July, we noticed very high concentration in the Lost River, almost 20 ppm. We thought that it was mainly because mineralization of organic nitrogen. You know, as the manure give a lot of colloidal particles of nitrogen, and when it was mineralized to inorganic form, that produced a lot of nitrate in the water. As you see, the data for loading, for the annual loading was about 1,000 ton of nitrate nitrogen a year. As you see, most of it really come during the summer months. As we know that the Lost River is tributary of the Potomac River, which discharge in the Chesapeake area. So sooner or later, most of this nitrogen goes to the Chesapeake. So the NRC technique could be used to estimate water and nitrate loss and the loading and the impact on water quality. And the technique could be used as exploratory technique procedure to conduct quick evaluation and identify hotspots for large area of agricultural land. Thus, lengthy and site-specific study could be focused on certain area of high risk. As I said here, most of the input data you could download from website for soil or climate or hydrology. The only physical work that you need is to collect surface water sample and determine the element of interest. So it is really very cost-effective method and really can save a lot of money, so you can focus on that red spot area that if you have fund that you can spend for site-specific models. At this time, I thank all of you for coming and listen to my presentation, and if I can, I entertain any question.